You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
You know the drill by now. We kick off with how the markets have been moving throughout the day. It's been a good day, and we take the good days as we can get them. And I'm joined on the line by Head of Research at F&B Wealth and Investments, Chantal Marks, to take a look at some of those movements throughout the day. Good evening, Chantal. Lovely to speak to you again. The Rand finally playing ball, but equities also coming to the party, having a strong Tuesday.
Yes, we started off quite strong, tapered back a little bit until just after midday, and then the US released a PPI report that showed that producer price inflation was actually quite benign, and that has strengthened the case for the Fed to cut rates next month, and that sparked a rally across global markets and across emerging markets currencies. I mean, we are not unique in terms of the Rand appreciating today. I mean, some of the other strong currency crosses were the Indonesian rupiah, the New Zealand dollar, the British pound, the Hungarian forint, the Colombian peso, you name it. Most of the major currencies strengthened today. And the JSC also strengthened after that release and ended up 0.5% higher. And it was green, basically, across the board. Very few companies ending in the red, but the diversified miners struggling a little bit. And then some select names in the South African retail space, Spar and TFG, also not faring too well today.
Chantal, it sounds like we are pretty much pricing in. There's definitely going to be a rate cut from the US in September. And I know we've got our central bank meeting, I think, the very next day after the US's September meeting. So it'll be a big week for markets in that week. What happens if we don't get that rate cuts?
I think if we don't get the rate cuts in the US, you would expect a sell-off in equity markets. I think at this point, there are some concerns around the strength of the US economy. This week, it's been a little bit better towards the end of last week as well, but certainly the week prior, a lot of data coming out of the US has pointed to a softening of that economy. And there's been concerns that the Fed could even be behind the curve. So if we don't get the September rate cut, I would expect equities to come under quite a bit of pressure. The consumer needs relief in the US, and equity markets need that bit of a boost, I think, to take another leg up.
Speaking of equity markets, let's look at some of the developments that happened locally. I know we got some SENS announcements coming through early today. Sasol changing up its chief financial officer. Surprises there?
No, not really. I think we knew that they were looking for a new chief financial officer. I think that at least now we have a situation where we have a kind of steadying of the ship. We know who the chief financial officer is going to be, and that company can continue forward and hopefully not kitchen sink another set of results. They did do a lot in this specific period up until the end of June. We had that shocker of a trading statement come through yesterday. So, we have a name now. We have someone at the helm of the finances at Sasol. And hopefully that means that we have some calm entering that counter that has been under so much pressure so far this year.
Speaking of trading statements and trading updates, Santam gave us a trading statement today. The share price up almost 4.8%. The market clearly loving that. What did they have to say?
Oh, it was such a nice trading statement, Jeremy. headline earnings per share for the 6 months to the 30th of June expected to increase by between 25 and 45%. They said that they saw an improved underwriting result. We know that they have been struggling to get their underwriting margin within their target range over the last few reporting periods. And I think that we're now firmly within that underwriting margin target range. And that just means that they are writing better quality business, and they probably had a pretty decent claims experience. Because we know the last few years has been really tough from a short-term insurance perspective. I mean, it's not only some of the big weather events that we've been contending with, but something like load shedding has had a massive impact on claims because of the impact that it's had on, for example, household appliances. And then we have the issues from a South African perspective when it comes to security as well. So I think that they're probably pricing their business a little bit better. And of course, I think some load shedding relief also factoring in to Santam's results.
So it seems like they've sort of gotten the darkest part of their operations out of the way. Hopefully no further significant challenges come their way. I mean, obviously some of these challenges are things they can't do anything about. But let's move on to Pick and Pay. We got an update obviously around the outcome of the voting rights or the voting, the recapitalization program that they're embarking on, the rights issue. But alongside that, the voting rights today have changed the Ackerman family coming below 50% for the first time in Pick and Pay's history.
Yes, so when they announced the rights offer initially, we knew that this was going to happen, so they did guide for it. We've now just received the confirmation thereof, and I do think that it is a good thing. It's great when a company transitions from being family-owned and run into being family-owned and externally run, and then finally to come into the hands of the minority or previously minority shareholders. It speaks to a maturity of that business, and I think that Pick and Pay really needs that right now. It's embarking on a massive restructuring program. It's trying to fix its balance sheet. There's a turnaround plan in place for the groceries business, and I think the experts really need to get on with it now. So I think it's a good thing from a governance perspective, but yeah, entirely expected.
When we look forward to the Pick and Pay business, I mean, you mentioned that obviously this is a good step in the right direction for that business. What's next for the business? I mean, we know that they're still planning that Boxer listing or the unbundling and then separate listing of the business. But where do we sit now on the optimism around the business and the potential for recovery of that business?
So I think that there has been some optimism moving into the market around Pick and Pay's prospects, because you've had the rights offer now, so their balance sheet is in a bit of a better position. The Boxer initial public offering will also help. They'll maintain a stake in Boxer, so they'll still be able to benefit from the growth and strength in that business. They also have the Pick and Pay clothing business that continues to grow from strength to strength. And I think the groceries business, even if they are not able to make a meaningful change in terms of the turnaround plan there, some of the macroeconomic tailwinds that will be coming through over the next few months will certainly help them. Lower interest rates and low inflation, I think, is really going to help the consumer. And then you have a one-off in the two-pot system that could also actually boost Pick and Pay near term. And then finally, you have some structural support hopefully coming through from a South African growth perspective, where we have a meaningfully higher growth rate because of some of the positive changes that are happening from a governance perspective. So I'm just thinking about the successes we've seen so far in Operation Vulindlela, the turnaround that we've seen at Eskom, and hopefully that can push through to Telkom, and we can get some other easy wins in some very important ministries in South Africa over the next few months and years. And that in itself will help Pick and Pay, even if they're not that successful in their specific strategies to turn the grocery business around.
Speaking of strategies, Chantel, before I let you go, when we look at the South African picture, equities have had quite a big day today, or a fairly decent day, not the biggest we've had this year, certainly, but we're starting to see that there's a greater sense of optimism and positivity around the South African equity space. Are there any particular sectors that are standing out for you at the moment?
Well, I mean, from a South African equity perspective, if we are looking at why there is more positivity coming through from local investors as well as international investors, it's because of that structural growth story that I mentioned earlier. The fact that we could actually see a step up in economic growth that has been quite tepid over the last few years. If we see that happening, the sectors and the companies that will outperform will be the companies and sectors with the biggest exposure to South Africa specifically. Some other areas could also benefit, like mining, if we get an improvement in the regulatory environment coupled with commodity price an improvement in commodity prices. But I think my money would be on the small and mid caps that are mainly focused on the South African economy and will really benefit if we see that step change, and hopefully also benefit from a return of capital to South Africa, international capital in particular.
Well, we'll have to wait and see how that plays out. Certainly, the markets are looking more optimistic than they were a couple of weeks ago, but we'll have to leave it at that, Chantal. Thanks so much for the time and for the insights. Chantal Marks, Head of Research at F&B Wealth and Investments, on some of the market movements today, as well as some of the SENS announcements we got and what looks interesting.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.